The winningest team in baseball also has the most saves, and people who save the most money are winners. So start earning saves by investing in Worthy Bonds for only $10 each. These bonds earn a fixed 7% APY, and there's no fees, penalties, or minimum balance required, and they can be redeemed whenever you like. You can even round up everyday purchases to buy additional bonds. Go to worthybonds.com/save. That's worthybonds.com/save, and save and win.
The Chuck Oliver Show podcast is presented by Larceny Bourbon. So smooth, it's criminal. Larceny reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
In the South, it's always college football season, and the king of college football reigns supreme all year long. Southern Sports Today proudly presents The Chuck Oliver Show. It's an inside look at everything college football. Now live from Atlanta, Georgia, it's time to talk college football with the reigning king of college football, Chuck Oliver, on Southern Sports Today.
A phrase about Nick Saban I don't believe I have ever used. It is the Chuck Oliver Show on a Thursday. I've talked a lot about Nick Saban. I've been fortunate enough to be able to talk to Nick Saban some. But there is a phrase I don't think I've ever used because it almost like gives context and douses the winning somehow. Nick Saban has kept winning national titles despite himself. There is a phrase, or I guess a phrasing that I have used, talking about quarterbacks and how you win championships, all right, and just generally who you have under center. There is a phrasing that I've used. I've said quarterbacks need to be in one of these two categories. I can win with him, or I'm winning because of him. And I said, any guy that is starting for you, he better be in one of those two categories. You know when that's not the case? Man, what year was it Maryland was down to the tight end? 12, maybe?
Sure, let's go with it.
Dan, who did 72 USC open against? I think it was 2012, I think. Maryland had an injury and then an injury and then an injury and then a fourth injury, and then suddenly all four quarterbacks on the roster were hurt. All four scholarship quarterbacks were hurt. And they were taking on Georgia Tech the next Saturday, and the starting quarterback was a tight end and the backup was a redshirt linebacker. Dan?
It was 2012.
I got my moments. So I think you had a freshman tight end and a redshirt freshman linebacker. And I actually went on the air, and I had my attorney. I called him. I was like, I need you to draw up whatever it is. I don't know, affidavit or a declaration or something. I was like, I want to sign a legally binding document. If Maryland wins Saturday, I will never be on the radio again. And so we had a listener make up T-shirts, and it became Georgia Tech Maryland confident. I said, I am so confident that because you don't win without quarterbacks. So no matter who you are, even if you're going 2-10, your quarterback better be outside of Maryland a decade ago. Georgia Tech won, by the way. Outside of Maryland a decade ago, I said, your quarterback, and I don't – UNLV, New Mexico State, whomever, in their worst years. Southern Miss in 2012. They swung and missed. It better be a guy in one of these two categories. I can win with him, or I win because of him. Since 2002, do you realize – we go back almost 20 years, folks. Since 2002, Nick Saban teams are the only national championships to win with quarterbacks, not because of quarterbacks. It's been almost two decades since the game changed. I'll come back to that in a second. Nick Saban, in fact, it's not just going back to, Dan, help me, it was Mauk and then Flynn, right?
Yes.
Yes, okay.
No, it was. Okay. I know that for sure.
Okay. He was winning, and don't think that, oh, yeah, just the Maddies. No, folks. As recently as 2015, I will say this with all manner of respect because he did like 150 things I never even got close to. Jacob Coker started at quarterback at Alabama for a national championship team. Now, here's what Jacob Coker was. His guy had a good arm, and he was smart. And he had played some football by that time. And he had a comfort zone because, remember, it was a homecoming. Didn't he win a title also at Florida State in 13? I think he did.
As a redshirt, yeah.
And then transfers, and my timeline is pretty close. But I know that Alabama won a title in 2015, and Jake Coker was the quarterback. Folks, that wasn't Matt Malk or Flynn or anybody else in 2003. That wasn't Craig Krenzel in that wasn't anybody. That was Jake Coker like 5 years ago. Jake Coker is walking off the field going, I need a cigar. And I think, if I'm going to try to remember correctly, I think he was with the Jets for a minute maybe. It might have been somebody else. But I think he had his shot. Folks, that is a 2015, Jake Coker. That is a decade plus after anyone else in the sport won a national championship with an offense not based around the quarterback lighting up the secondary. Not a single exception, even in years when Reggie Bush looked like a video game. Actually, you know what Reggie Bush looked like? Y'all listening, David, you're going to say no, and you may not even know what I'm talking about. Dan, you've probably seen it in a museum. I actually was gifted one Christmas, I think as an 11-year-old, electronic football. Not the handheld thing with a 9-volt battery, like the big metal board where you would set up David.
Yes, I know. I had one of those too.
Did you?
Yeah, my dad got one for me for Christmas one year.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
Is that the vibrating board?
It's the worst gift ever. It's the worst gift ever. You spend an hour and a half setting up these little plastic players, and my parents gave me the Cowboys and Steelers Super Bowl 13, I believe.
The one thing I remember is that it was literally impossible to pass the ball. You had a quarterback that with the little foam thing in his hand.
And you had to flick it, and right. So here's what happened, okay? My parents gave me this gift, and I was like, oh. So I spent all day because they gave you the numerals for the jerseys, and I would peel it off, and I had my Roger Staubach, and so I set all this stuff up. It took me 2.5 hours just to prepare and then set up for the first play. You turn on, it looked like the opening 10 minutes of Saving Private Ryan. It like people going everywhere. Now, that was actually Reggie Bush on a football field. Even with Reggie Bush doing impossible stuff that you've only ever seen in like Coleco electronic football. Even with that, that offense wasn't based around Reggie Bush. That offense was based around the quarterback. I mentioned Craig Krenzel. There is a phrase I've used, and at one point, and I apologized, I've actually yelled it at a kid before. There was a time, if we go back to 2002 and prior, do you know what was normal then for a quarterback? Here's the phrase, hand the ball off, carry out your fake. That was 90% of what you did. And there were it was normal for the national championship winning quarterback to be a guy who had mostly hand off the ball, carry out his fake. Craig Krenzel in 2002. Folks, Ken Dorsey. And Ken Dorsey had amazing numbers. It wasn't about him. It was about Andre Johnson and Jeremy Shockey a little bit more. There were exceptions, absolutely. There was a whole lot more T. Martin and Tommy Frazier. That's kind of what it was, a lot more than it was Danny Werfel. And I dare say, and I hope Coach Spurrier is listening right now. Yeah, this is a heck of a compliment. That Florida, Danny Werfel is one of the... He may be the greatest passing college quarterback I've ever watched. Florida's biggest wins, look at the rushing yards. And my gosh, look at that pass rush every single year. So Danny Werfel, I think he was as great as you could be throwing a football. Terry Jackson was pretty good. My gosh, Fred Taylor. Fred Taylor's one of the best runners. Nobody ever talks about Fred Taylor. Even I talk about Darren McFadden. He's off limits as a comparison. Well, so is Fred Taylor. But you go back to the era, and Danny Werfel is the unicorn, for gosh sakes. He really is. You look into modern times? other than Nick Saban teams or teams with quarterbacks that Nick Saban recruited, which was 2007 LSU. That was Matt Flynn. And he was an 03 recruit who redshirted, I think, in 03 or 04. Well, he redshirted. Then he won the title with Les Miles in 07. So it was even a Nick Saban quarterback. In 2015, he was still doing it and winning national championships. Do you know what everybody else is doing? Everybody else is doing Cam Newton. Everybody else is doing Joe Burrow. Everybody else is doing Tua and Jalen and all that. I brought this up today, not to say, hey, win because of or with, and I've talked about, That logic holds. It really does. If you have a quarterback who doesn't fit into one of those two categories, you got to get another quarterback. I don't care what you do. There's a really smart guy at ESPN, and I've talked about him before, and I think I described him as a really smart guy. And I mean, like, I can turn a phrase. I can do some stuff with words. What this man does with numbers, it's just incredible. One of the most high-level thinkers you're going to find online writing about college football, and he writes it in an accessible way for everybody, which includes me. Bill Connolly, we're going to have him on. Dan, bottom of the hour, right? Yeah, Bill Connolly from ESPN. He has a piece up right now, and it's explaining how college football's title-winning game manager quarterbacks, they've gone extinct. And he draws a line in the sand with 2003 LSU. And he says, since then, it's only Nick Saban teams and a Nick Saban quarterback. And before 2003, it was almost every national championship had a quarterback, champion had a quarterback who wasn't the focus. You know what he was? He was there for a lot of really important things, because Alabama in 1992, did they win a national championship without Jay Barker? Maybe. But I saw him win a national championship with Jay Barker, and I know for a fact what he did went well beyond this number of touchdowns and that number of picks and whatever else. There are 100 things the quarterback does to affect the season before the first August practice. And Jay Barker did every single – I'm picking one example. Did every one of them in like the 98th percentile. And then he you know what he did on Saturday's lot? Hand the ball off, carry out his fake. That was the time, man. All right, we're going to take a quick break and come back with more Chuck Oliver Show on a Thursday.
The winningest team in baseball also has the most saves. And people who save the most money are winners. So start earning saves by investing in Worthy Bonds for only $10 each. These bonds earn a fixed 7% APY. And there's no fees, penalties, or minimum balance required. And they can be redeemed whenever you like. You can even round up everyday purchases to buy additional bonds. Go to worthybonds.com/save. That's worthybonds.com/save. And save and win.
Hey everybody, Buck Blue here, and as a recent customer of Jim Ellis Automotive and a longtime friend of the Vice President, Stacy Ellis, man, I know Jim Ellis Automotive Group takes pride in being a family-owned and operated business. I saw it firsthand. When Stacy's granddad, Jim Ellis, founded the company back in 71, his goal was to treat every customer like family by offering a car-buying experience that was both easy and fully transparent. And it worked. 50 years later, Stacy's dad, Jimmy Ellis, grew the organization to become Georgia's largest family-owned and operated automotive group. And today, third-generation family members like Stacy, along with more than 1,700 dedicated team members, are working hard to uphold the values Jim Ellis Automotive was founded on. And that's why Jim Ellis has been around for over 50 years. Enjoy the advantages of buying your next vehicle from a family-owned and operated dealership. Visit jimellis.com or stop by any of their 20 dealerships located throughout Metro Atlanta. Jim Ellis Automotive, where you can always expect the best.
Catch the king of college football no matter where you go with a new Southern Sports Today app. Catch the best college football conversation in the South everywhere with the SST live stream and daily podcast. Download it now at the App Store and the Google Play Store. Now more of the best college football talk in the country. It's the Chuck Oliver Show.
I know I grew up a Miami fan. I understood what the history of Florida State is, and I understand the type of players that came through here. During the offseason, I was working out with Dalvin Cook and Bobo Wilson. They told me every single day what they expect out of Florida State. So I just hope I can live up to what they did and start to climb with these guys.
I think I like Andrew Parchman. He is a Kansas transfer, and FSU, I wait for the kid or the school. And FSU and Andrew Parchman announced on Monday, I believe it was, that it was official. He had committed to the Seminoles way back when. But Andrew Parchman, again, a graduate transfer wide receiver, tall kid, about 6'3", and heading home to Florida State, I'll say. He produced at Kansas, and not a whole lot of production of any sort was going on at Kansas. And especially, I've always said, a wide receiver. This is why you don't take a wide receiver in the top five in the NFL draft, because you don't win Super Bowls because of wide receivers. There's literally never – Jerry Rice, somehow a guy ran like a 4.65 at the combine, I think, and it's the greatest receiver ever. Niners didn't win because of him. They won because of Joe Montana and the defense and Bill Walsh. And – Jerry Rice is the greatest receiver in history. And the reason I say that is because it's dependent on play call, offensive line, quarterback, and then, honestly, the oddity of what do you happen to be doing with coverage on that play. I mean, there's like literally five things that you have no control over. And then you get a chance to catch the ball. Andrew Parchman was productive at Kansas. And the reason I say I think I like him is because if you're listening to his comments there, I mean, Dan, did he just say, like, outright, FSU was important?
Oh, yeah. No, that's absolutely what he said.
And I've said there are programs. I'm not an FSU grad or fan. My mother-in-law is. And I know plenty of FSU grads, and I've always loved the program. And why I say that is because Florida State is Texas, is Notre Dame, is Southern Cal the season? And I used to say the season is just so much better. Folks, the season is more authentic when Florida State and Texas and Notre Dame and Southern Cal. Do you know what sucks as I'm got my Auburn stuff on today? You know what sucks as an Auburn fan? Is to look at an Alabama fan and go, "Hey, y'all stink," and have a Bama fan go, "Yeah." It's not fun. You need them to be good. I love Mike Shula. I'm going to tell you, never meet a nicer guy. And it was easy pickings. And I'm going to get personal, right? Like, it was easy pickings six straight, wasn't it? One for the thumb, five, and then I think Saban was the sixth, and then that ended. It wasn't the same. It just wasn't the same. You know, what, 3 and 7 years from Gus? That was, some ways, it was better than the six straight. Just one man's opinion. I agree with him. FSU is important. It's a more authentic season when they're good. What up, Dan?
Yeah, you want your rival to be at the top. I mean, you don't want your rival to be Oscar.
And I want to beat him.
You don't want your rival to be Oscar De La Hoya at the end of his career and just getting absolutely crushed by Manny Pacquiao. No. That's not what you want. I'm going to pull a Bryant Gumbel here. You know how on Real Sports he always does a quick postscript. I don't want LSU fans to come at us because you mentioned about Matty Mock to Matt Flynn. Yes, of course, we know Jamarcus Russell was there in the middle, so we've taken care of that. Chuck, I think the real thing at front here is I saw a headline that USA Today did a couple of days after Colt Brennan passed and said, the guy who changed college football. And I kind of thought about it for a second. I said, yeah, he did. Because what he did back in 2007, there were people who pointed at that game in the Sugar Bowl and said, see, that system can't work. It wasn't until finally somebody down the road said, no, the system can work. You just need to have the guys who are better than everybody else on the field, and it can take it to another level. And that's finally what Lane Kiffin found out he could do. That's finally what Dabo Sweeney and them at Clemson found out they could do. Ohio State and the teams that are at the top of the college football landscape now, as they said, go recruit the best athletes. Give me the strength. Give me the speed. Then, yes, guess what? It can work.
Yeah, it absolutely can, and it's been transformational. Actually, I mean, you look at the ability. I've always said, you know, if you can change formations without changing personnel, for instance, that's the biggest advantage you can have right now. And so much of that is based around speed now, and it's just the changing dynamics of what makes the type of player in so many cases, not just the skill, but the type of player you want.
The winningest team in baseball also has the most saves, and people who save the most money are winners. So start earning saves by investing in Worthy bonds for only $10 each. These bonds earn a fixed 7% APY, and there's no fees, penalties, or minimum balance required, and they can be redeemed whenever you like. You can even round up everyday purchases to buy additional bonds. Go to worthybonds.com/save. That's worthybonds.com/save, and save and win.
Hey everybody, Buck Ballew here, and as a recent customer of Jim Ellis Automotive and a longtime friend of the Vice President, Stacy Ellis, man, I know Jim Ellis Automotive Group takes pride in being a family-owned and operated business. I saw it firsthand. When Stacy's granddad, Jim Ellis, founded the company back in 71, his goal was to treat every customer like family by offering a car-buying experience that was both easy and fully transparent. And it worked. 50 years later, Stacy's dad, Jimmy Ellis, grew the organization to become Georgia's largest family-owned and operated automotive group. And today, third-generation family members like Stacy, along with more than 1,700 dedicated team members, are working hard to uphold the values Jim Ellis Automotive was founded on. And that's why Jim Ellis has been around for over 50 years. Enjoy the advantages of buying your next vehicle from a family-owned and operated dealership. Visit JimEllis.com or stop by any of their 20 dealerships located throughout Metro Atlanta. Jim Ellis Automotive, where you can always expect the best.
It's always college football time in the South. Now back to more of the King of College Football, Chuck Oliver, on Southern Sports Today.
All week, all year, it's all college football on the Chuck Oliver Show. 9 states, 51 sticks, dealing it out to you since the beginning of the 14 season. So I appreciate y'all putting that blessing in my life. I have used that phrasing before. I was starting the show with it today. That if you're in college football, there are only two categories that your quarterback can fit into. We win with him or we win because of him. And it's that second category if you're going to win anything of substance. And I don't mean the ACC Coastal, and I'm not trying to be funny there. I'm saying if you're going to win something that you look at and go, hey, remember that 12 team? And you got to have a quarterback in modern days. You got to have a quarterback that you win because of. That's just what it is. Well, our next guest, his latest outstanding piece at ESPN.com. If I gave you just that flyover statement, man, he did the drill down, and it is tremendous. And I would tell you, I don't know, carve out lunch or dinner time. You know, eat your box of chicken and then read about college football from Bill Connelly from ESPN.com. I want to welcome him on again. Bill, how are you today?
How are you doing? I'm good.
I'm doing all right, man. I enjoyed your article thoroughly. And you actually took it beyond just, you know, those two categories I use. You talked about the game manager and the fact that unless it's Nick Saban, as recently as 2015, or a Nick Saban quarterback, which Les Miles won with in 2007, there's literally no, quote, game managers who have won national titles since 2003.
Yeah, it is pretty crazy. To think about how infrequently in college football's past, you had the first-round quarterback who was also the championship quarterback. It just didn't overlap ever. Taggy at Nebraska, Blackledge at Penn State, and then a couple of the supplemental guys at Miami in the 80s. But you won because of defensive field position, and that was the overriding philosophy forever, especially in the SEC. And now you've got Nick Saban teams out here averaging almost 50 points a game.
You know, I had talked about something heading before the draft, and I said, you know, because there's so many historical things about Southern Cal tailbacks or linebackers from Penn State. And I was talking about Ohio State quarterbacks, and I said, you can find stuff out there, folks, drilling down on this, but literally Ohio State had never had a single quarterback who had succeeded in the NFL, and they had more Heisman – not one ever – and they had more Heisman trophies and almost national championships than anybody.
Yeah, no, I mean, Craig Krenzel won the O2 National Championship, a third string. I mean, Cardale Jones had a great run in 2014, obviously, but he was still the third stringer. Like, and he still didn't end up doing major damage in the NFL by any means. So, I mean, it is, and I think it's just, you know, part of it is quarterbacks getting better. Part of it is just offenses being more optimized. I think that was a big part of it. Quarterbacks aren't only asked to throw on third and nine now, like Craig Krenzel was in 2002, basically. And, you know, they're relied on more, and they're paying off coaches, you know, the faith that coaches are showing. And it's certainly kind of just rolled on since then, I guess.
Continuing with Bill Connelly from ESPN.com. And Bill, you know, before I get into the bigger point you were making here, as I kept reading this piece, and I was thinking about either Nick Saban or a Nick Saban quarterback, and as recently as 2015 when Jake Coker did it, I was like, this is another reason to pause and go, wow, Nick Saban, like, you were winning national championships doing literally what not one other championship team was even attempting to do.
Yeah, that's certainly one way to Coker was kind of the last of the game managers, I guess, and even he late in the year. That, you know, that was still Kiffin was upgrading things late in the year. Coker caught fire too. So if he hadn't been so good at the end of the year, they probably don't win the national title then either. But yeah, I mean, a decade ago they were still averaging, you know, giving up 9 points a game or whatever.
Yep.
And in a decade we went from 9-6 LSU to 46-41 LSU, and then Bama responded to that loss by becoming even better offensively than LSU was in 2019.
All right. Let's flip it around then and talk about, the elephant in the room, as it were. How do you play defense against him? I have said, first of all, you got to tackle the slant if the pass gets off. But I, honestly, Bill, and this is not popular to say in 2021, I said the only chance you have of playing defense today is to knock the hell out of the quarterback and just keep hitting him until he doesn't get up. That's it.
Yeah. I mean, rush the passer absurdly well and have like six guys who can play man coverage. So you can at least sort of take away some of the benefits of the RPO. You know, if you're playing man, the guys aren't, the safeties aren't in conflict as much.
Yeah.
You know, it still works a good portion of the time, but you can at least sort of take advantage or take away some of the advantages there. But it is, I mean, the first thing, I think Saban's talked about this, a lot of good defensive coaches have talked about this. There's still good defense. There's still very effective defense. It's just that definition has changed over the last 10 years to where, you know, it's not, you know, can you hold teams to single digits or 3 yards a play? It's can you hold them to 17 points and 5 yards a play? And if you're doing that, you're probably doing pretty well. So I think that's been a biggest thing. Defensive coaches just have to change what's good in their head and accept kind of what wins football games now, and that's slowly taking place.
Oh, yeah. I've said that it's just good enough. You know, I don't try for good defense, good enough defense. And I said situational defense, that when you get in the red zone, if you force a field goal, it's almost like the Arena League. You know, just give me a stop.
Yeah, Northwestern's been amazing. That was the biggest thing. Their biggest strength of the last decade has been forcing teams to settle for field goals and taking their chances from there. And you see that a lot. And it is. I mean, there are still great defensive tackles, excellent pass rushing ends and all those things. But it's just harder. You don't get as many times to attack on defense either because teams are throwing on first down. They're not as predictable. And, yeah, if you can just keep tackling well and cover pretty well and hopefully get a sack on third and seven at the 15 or whatever, then you're probably doing okay.
Okay. I want to talk about two rule changes. One of them, the game has moved in such an absurd direction that it's not even brought up anymore. Do you remember, like, when Hugh Freeze first got to Ole Miss, for instance, and Gus over at Auburn? It was like, you know, the biggest rule in college football was the offensive lineman 3 yards downfield. They would never call it. Bill, nobody even brings that up anymore because teams are like, why are we even screwing around pretending to run?
Yeah, I think the defensive coordinators are still complaining about that from time to time, I know. But, yeah, we've just kind of accepted it. And, I mean, honestly, good. I like points. I like yards. Like, I'm not going to complain about offenses having the advantage, but there's no question, like Saban and everybody else have said before, like, you can't even commit to running downhill towards the running back because, you know, you just can't anticipate. Linemen are 3 yards downfield. You just can't commit to what you're seeing because the quarterback might pull the ball away and throw to where you just were. So it's hard. And I know defensive coaches will still bring that up, but yep. I think we've all accepted it because it's, you know, a lot of fun to watch.
All right. And the last rule change I want to ask you about is one that hasn't been. Actually, it's just enforcing the rules. If you look at most teams, and it can be first and 10 or third and 8 or second and 2, the left tackle and the right tackle look like wingbacks. It looks like a V, and like the left tackle's helmet doesn't even touch the center's butt if he was standing over there. If they would just make you line up on the line of scrimmage, that would force teams to run the ball a little more.
That is fine. Yeah, I mean, that is certainly, they give you a little bit of a advantage there. You can get off the ball like a millisecond faster than the defenders do, and that's fine. I mean, it really just does depend, too, on, like, what do we want to see? Do we want to give the defenses a little bit of an edge back and start to enforce that sort of thing? You can call holding whenever you want. Do we want them to call holding more, or are we just going to say, you know what, this is a lot of fun. 46-41 is a lot of fun, and the offense are going to keep the advantage here.
Last thing I want to bring up is just apply it to the coming season and Georgia and JT Daniels, because, you know, we talked about national championship quarterbacks, and that means we're not talking about Kirby and Georgia and Kirby. And then the weird thing was, going into last season, there were three former Saban assistants who were head coaches in the East. All three of them were still running the Saban offense from like 10 years ago. And Kirby's the only one still there. What do you think is the chance for a Georgia fan if he or she is just begging Kirby to fling the ball this year?
Well, I do think that what we saw late in the year, not only the quality that Daniels showed when he finally got a chance, but just the fact that he was throwing 30 times a game. I think that alone was an acknowledgement. Like I pointed out in the piece, Jake Fromm only threw 30 times when they were losing. And he lost all six times that he threw 30-plus times. And Daniels was just out there doing it anyway. I think that the hire of Monken was an acknowledgement of this, of the shift that the Georgia offense needed to take. It's just when the quarterback issues popped up the way they did last fall, we just didn't get to see much of what Monken had in mind. Now we will. We'll see if that was the right hire here in his second year. And it is funny to think about, you know, what if Georgia does ignite this year, and for three straight years we get LSU, Alabama, and Georgia throwing the ball all over the planet. That will be the biggest possible signifier that the world has changed in a massive, massive way.
Oh, you know what, Bill? I'm 53, so, you know, I grew up in the 80s watching Oklahoma and Jamel Holloway. And I, you know, gather around, interns, let me tell you about how Oklahoma used to play offense, and nobody believes me. Everybody thinks, oh, you're lying. I'm like, no, there's film somewhere. It's just an unbelievable change, and specifically for some of those programs like that you're talking about. Appreciate your time as always, brother. Thank you for coming home.
Absolutely.
All right, Bill Connelly again from ESPN.com. Just does a tremendous job, again, with the drill down on the numbers and some of the conclusions that he reaches. It's one of those pay pieces. So if you got the ESPN Plus, then you can put that stuff in and read it. But there is also a lot of commentary about it out yonder, and that's actually where I found it and was able to read the entire piece. So like I said, another great job there from Bill at ESPN.com. And the conclusion is that he really does expect JT Daniels. Well, let me back that up to the first step. He expects that Kirby really has handed over the keys to Todd Monken, and I know what that means. So it means we're going to get a chance for JT Daniels kind of stretch out a little bit. And it's exciting. Now, I've also said that I am selfish. What I want more than anything is November football worth watching, and that's in every division, and that includes the East. And for this year, I'm starting to get a little suspicious that I'm not going to have a lot of November football in the East. In fact, I'll even take when I know what the outcome is. Dan, you knew what was going to happen in Lexington 3 years back, didn't you?
Of course.
Yeah. And Kentucky was a really, really, really good team, and they had Godzilla on defense, and they had it down on offense, man. And how they attacked you and Benny Snell and the whole thing, and a good enough receiver. And I told you all of that stuff, and I think they had one loss, and they had beaten Florida, and they were at home, his biggest home ticket in however many years. And I was looking at that game going, I know how this is going to turn out. But I also watched that game, like CBS was there, National Game of the Week, and there's just something to that juice, that energy. When remember we had a good friend, Matt Jones, on from Kentucky Sports Radio, and I could go back and check the schedule, but Kentucky was playing somebody in hoops. And he said, Chuck, we haven't taken – they may have been playing Duke. Dan, check that out. They may have been playing Duke or somebody at the beginning of the 2018 season. And whoever – it may have been George Mason. He said that leading up to the game that day, all week on the radio, he's like, we've taken 4-1 calls on football, basketball. And remember that, you know, Kentucky is – I want to say this would have been maybe 2015, if I recall. It was August. The football team is 1 week from playing an actual game that counts in the standings. And it might have even been Louisville. I won't swear to that. But they were about to play a real live game to start their 2015 real live regular SEC football season. And the lead story in the Lexington paper was the men's basketball team playing an exhibition against the Puerto Rican men's national team. An exhibition against, like, grown men in Puerto Rico in August. And it was a bigger story than Kentucky about to play a ball game, a real one on the football field. So I knew how it was going to turn out, but it still had that juice, that energy. It was a big game. And I don't know where we're going to get that this year. I think, like I said, Georgia may wrap this thing up in Jacksonville. So, again, appreciate him making time, coming on. We are going to break and come back, wrap up hour one next.
The winningest team in baseball also has the most saves, and people who save the most money are winners. So start earning saves by investing in Worthy bonds for only $10 each. These bonds earn a fixed 7% APY, and there's no fees, penalties, or minimum balance required, and they can be redeemed whenever you like. You can even round up everyday purchases to buy additional bonds. Go to worthybonds.com/save. That's worthybonds.com/save, and save and win.
Hey everybody, Buck Blue here, and as a recent customer of Jim Ellis Automotive and a longtime friend of the Vice President, Stacy Ellis, man, I know Jim Ellis Automotive Group takes pride in being a family-owned and operated business. I saw it firsthand. When Stacy's granddad, Jim Ellis, founded the company back in 71, his goal was to treat every customer like family by offering a car-buying experience that was both easy and fully transparent. And it worked. 50 years later, Stacy's dad, Jimmy Ellis, grew the organization to become Georgia's largest family-owned and operated automotive group. And today, third-generation family members like Stacy, along with more than 1,700 dedicated team members, are working hard to uphold the values Jim Ellis Automotive was founded on. And that's why Jim Ellis has been around for over 50 years. Enjoy the advantages of buying your next vehicle from a family-owned and operated dealership. Visit JimEllis.com or stop by any of their 20 dealerships located throughout Metro Atlanta. Jim Ellis Automotive, where you can always expect the best.
Now back to the Chuck Oliver Show on Southern Sports Today.
It is the Chuck Oliver Show on Thursday, and a couple months back, there was the audio recording and accompanying headlines and stories about Valdosta high school football coach, Rush Probst, and the secret recordings of him boasting about getting drug dealer money.
Funny money.
Yes. From in Hoover from, I believe, and if I get this wrong, I apologize, but it's out there on YouTube. You can go listen to it. I think it was the sheriff would get drug dealer money on 20 and then give it to Rush to pay funny money to players' expenses if they would transfer or stay at Hoover or something. And that Nick Chubb got three $60,000 payments from Georgia. And he just needed some money to – and he's just and all of this other stuff happened with – that's just him talking, okay? That's just him making wild claims, and that's guy sitting at a bar, and, you know, doing whatever, and that happens a lot. But what did happen that is documented, it's undeniable, is the transfers, and in some cases, the then rejected transfers of players into the program, and now the money trail from either boosters or the school's budget or whatever – to the coach, then to players' parents, to to pay expenses so that they would live in the Valdosta district. He even is talking about, now this was particular, like I said, you want to say something about Nick Chubb? Nick Chubb's a grown man. He can handle himself. If he says something about a sheriff in Birmingham, I'm assuming that guy can represent himself. He was talking about a high school kid who has an offer to Troy. Dan, I'm remembering that. Wasn't it Troy? And the kid had transferred out of Valdosta's district. And he's like, if he doesn't transfer back, I'm going to talk to one of my former players who's on the staff at Troy, and he's going to lose that scholarship. I want him to start telling this high school kid, hey, because he had transferred to, I think, a private school, a lower classification. Hey, you need to show out against the biggest level. You need to go back to Valdosta. I don't know if that's what Rush was on tape claiming. He was pushing one of his former players. It was just treacherous stuff. Unless a rising senior transfers back to the school where I coach, I want you to at least make him think his scholarship is in jeopardy. Just awful stuff. But then I remember, oh, yeah, Rush is an awful person. That's right. I was sitting there, oh, clutch the pearls. I was like, oh, wait a minute, it's Rush Probst. That's right. I mean, Rush is talking to the frog right now going, well, that's just what I do. It's just so anyway, that happened. And there was all this consternation about, oh, what's this going to lead to? And then Alabama and Auburn and then Georgia. And I was like, it's not going to lead to anything there. I said, I would imagine, I don't know, the FBI or somebody, the Alabama BI, gets involved with this drug dealer sort of thing, and they're going to ask a question. I don't know, the IRS, if maybe they asked Nick Chubb, did you get $180,000? Did you pay taxes? I was like, beyond that, ain't nothing going to happen. I said, and that's big boy stuff. As far as what we actually care about, recruiting and probation and scholarships and all, I was like, ain't nothing going to happen. Now, that was always going to be true, and I think most people agreed with that. What I really was right about, I said, not coach again. I said, folks, he's going to coach again this year. He'll coach again this year. He was at a place called Colquitt County. And it's in South Georgia, and it's a big classification, big monster program, and they win a lot, and they like winning a lot. They won 2 state championships at Colquitt, I think in 5 seasons or 4 maybe, whatever it was. They won 2 state titles. Colquitt ran him off. And what they want to do more than anything is win. What they decided is we want to win more than anything except still having Rush Probst here. He went to Valdosta. He didn't just get another job. He got the job. Isn't it Wintersville, USA? Isn't that? Yes. The high school program. And I said there are a couple of others, and we can name them Odessa Permian. I mean, there's like a short list that we know. Moeller and Massillon. And Valdosta's it, man. It's the end of the rainbow if you're a high school football head coach. That is where he coached last year. Well, he won't coach this year. Folks, have you seen the headline? He may coach this year at Valdosta. Board of Education to revisit contract of embattled football coach Rush Probst. They will meet this coming Monday to discuss Rush Probst's contract. They voted on April 27th not to renew it. They decided, hey, you know what? Let's go ahead and bring him back anyway. Because they looked around and they're like, I think we got a $7,500 fine and that's it. And he does bring in the transfers. Let's revisit this, folks. None of what I just said is made up. Dan, how are you today?
That's why it always cracks me up whenever people use absolutes in football and say,
never.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Penn State will never be back. Trust me. They will.
He's going to coach this season.
There you go. And you know, it's also, too, you're right about the schools that we know. Long Beach Poly, De La Salle, California. The Texas schools, Southlake Carroll, Westlake, all those. Yeah, we know them all. I think that the NFL is going to be yet again another proving ground for college football, and namely the college football playoff in 2 phases, Chuck. I think number one, we are going to see it with the 17th game where the college football playoff and the college football leadership are going to look at it and say, huh, that extra game. You're telling me that I am at the Bellagio Buffet and they just rolled out the omelet station over there? This made it even better.
Oh.
So it is a situation for college football where their omelet station is, hey, Georgia gets to go play Texas in Austin, and then they get to come play us in Athens. And we need to have that because that is something as an extra cherry on top of our schedule in order to be able to make the expanded field the college football playoff. The other part of it as well is the biggest argument is everybody saying, oh, well, you can't play it too long. These kids are students after all. We can play this almost as long as the NFL playoffs because the NFL playoffs now are going to go into February.
Ain't nothing better than an omelet station. There's a hotel my wife and I stay out in Tampa. They got an omelet station guy. He looks like Eminem at the end of 8 Mile, man. He's got like six of them going every Saturday and Sunday morning. Ain't nothing better than an omelet station.
The winningest team in baseball also has the most saves, and people who save the most money are winners. So start earning saves by investing in Worthy Bonds for only $10 each. These bonds earn a fixed 7% APY, and there's no fees, penalties, or minimum balance required, and they can be redeemed whenever you like. You can even round up everyday purchases to buy additional bonds. Go to worthybonds.com/save. That's worthybonds.com/save, and save and win.
Hey everybody, Buck Blue here, and as a recent customer of Jim Ellis Automotive and a longtime friend of the Vice President, Stacy Ellis, man, I know Jim Ellis Automotive Group takes pride in being a family-owned and operated business. I saw it firsthand. When Stacy's granddad, Jim Ellis, founded the company back in 71, his goal was to treat every customer like family by offering a car-buying experience that was both easy and fully transparent. And it worked. 50 years later, Stacy's dad, Jimmy Ellis, grew the organization to become Georgia's largest family-owned and operated automotive group. And today, third-generation family members like Stacy, along with more than 1,700 dedicated team members, are working hard to uphold the values Jim Ellis Automotive was founded on. And that's why Jim Ellis has been around for over 50 years. Enjoy the advantages of buying your next vehicle from a family-owned and operated dealership. Visit jimellis.com or stop by any of their 20 dealerships located throughout Metro Atlanta. Jim Ellis Automotive, where you can always expect the best.
Camp Margaritaville RV Resort, where you can just breathe in and breathe out. Or move. There's biking, boating, arcade games, hiking, nearby golfing. Or fly through the new Fins Up Water Park. Thrills, chills, twists, and turns. This could be you. Camp Margaritaville at Lanier Islands, an easy one-hour drive from Atlanta. Book your stay today at CampMargaritavilleLanierIslands.com.